1 Corinthians chapter number 16, give you the thought the Lord has laid upon my heart for this evening. And the Lord stirred within me the last few days while I was in my study, and I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to you as well tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, find verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 15. First Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 15. When you find your place, if you're willing and able, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. First Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 15. First Corinthians 16 and verse number 15. If you love your Bible this evening, would you let it known by saying amen? Amen. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now you submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. Verse 18 says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. I want to preach on this thought. I want to preach on becoming an addict. That's a good title for a sermon, ain't it? Becoming an addict. Most of them's titled, how to not be an addict. I want to preach on how to become one tonight. And so let's ask God to help here tonight. Father, I pray you bless now during the preaching time. God, give me an unction to preach with. I pray you give me a fresh touch and a fresh anointing. Lord, we desire to hear from heaven tonight. I pray you take the word of God now and, Lord, use it for thy glory. I pray, God, that we'd all leave a whole lot better than we walked in. I pray we'd go get more serious about what you've called us to do in the work of God. Lord, we love you. And if there's one here tonight that does not know you, I pray that tonight be the night they'd place their faith in you. Call upon thy name and be saved, for it's everlasting too late. We love you. We praise you. It's in Christ's high and holy name I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated this evening. The book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, it was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was addressed in that to the church of Corinth. Now, Corinth, if you're a Bible studier, it was a place where the Apostle Paul had visited while he was on his second missionary journey. It was there where the apostle would spend nearly a year and a half, maybe a little bit more, almost 2 years. Many suggest that while he was in that area and he was there preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God, and he was telling folks about Jesus and what Christ had done, and as a result, we find that many became Christians. Many got saved. Many lives were changed as a result of that. And also there was the establishment of a church there in that area, which is known as the church at Corinth. However, after the Apostle Paul had departed from there, it did not take very long, and that church that had started so good, and that church that had started so well, and people were getting saved, and people were following the Lord, it didn't take them very long after the man of God was gone to find that they would take many different wrong directions. They would go in a wrong way, if you will. And Paul was often given reports as to how they were doing, and he would find that most often the reports were always never positive reports, but it seems that they were almost always, they were bad reports. And so 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is the Apostle Paul writing back to this church at Corinth, and this letter here to the Corinthians, and he's addressing all of these problems. He's addressing all of these issues that they were dealing with there in that church, and things like carnality, things like division, things like adultery and disgracefulness, and the list goes on and on and on. And the apostle, he would write back, and he would deal with each of these issues.
In chapter number 5, he deals with incest. In chapter number 6, he deals with legal matters such as Christians taking other Christians to church. And I believe we probably ought to preach that more often in the house of God, even in 2022. Christians can't get along, and so they file lawsuits against each other and going to court. And he deals with that in chapter number 6. Chapters 8 and chapter 9, he deals with division. Visions were taking place in the house of God, and how many understand it's always better when everything's unified. Somebody ought to say amen right there. You ought to stay away from divisions and things that cause a division. He deals with that in chapters 8 and chapter 9. Chapter number 12, he deals with the issues of gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and how that folks were in that place, in that church, how they were bragging about their gifts, and they were mainly showing off their gifts instead of using them to glorify God. Look up in there now. I like a good singer and I like a good preacher. Amen. I like that. I like to see a singer get up and sing that has been gifted to sing. I like to hear somebody teach the Word of God that has the gift of teaching. I like to hear a man preach the Word of God that's been called of God and filled with the Spirit of God and full of the Holy Ghost. I love that. But hear me now. May we never forget that what you have, it came from Him. You ain't a good singer cause you something. You're just a good singer cause He give you the gift of singing. Somebody ought to say amen. And so they were using that to brag about themselves and bring about glory within themselves instead of glorifying God. And so Paul deals with that in those chapters. Chapter number 12. Chapter number 15, he deals with some doctrine. He deals with the resurrection and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that some there in the church, they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection. And so he deals with that in chapter 15. And he reminds them that if Christ be not risen from the dead, then everything we've got, it's all in vain. It ain't none of it good. Our preaching's in vain. Our singing's in vain. Our teaching's everything. We have no hope had he stayed in the grave. But the good gospel news is he didn't stay dead, but he arose that third appointed day, just like he said that he would. And because he lives, you and I can live also. And so most of the letter is dealing with these issues. It's dealing with these problems, things that they were going through. And by the way, I want to make mention of this, and I'll hurry along and get to my thought tonight. But I do want to make mention of this, that I think it's very important that we recognize that it was the Apostle Paul's desire that this church and this body of believers, that they got their hearts right with God and that they got back in a right standing with the Lord, and they no longer brought disgrace to God, but rather they brought glory unto the Lord. Could I say that ought to be the desire of every man of God? Every man goes right. I'm preaching to me now. I hear some of these preachers talk about, some people just look better going than they do coming. And I hear what you're saying, and I understand that, but it ought to be our desire that nobody quits serving God and nobody quits the church and nobody gets mad and nobody goes the wrong direction. I don't care if you really like them or not, but it ought to be our desire to want to see them love God and serve God and follow God. It ought to be our desire that nobody quits church, but they get right and they come to church. Paul, it was not his desire that they just shut the church down. His desire was they get it right. And I don't care how bad of a way a person may find themselves in, it ought to be our desire. We won't see them get right. We want to see them get back in a place of service where God can use them. And they're still breathing. That means God's still got a purpose for them. And so here they are, and Paul, he's addressing these issues, and he's addressing some of the things that's going on, and it was his desire to that they get it right, and he didn't want them to quit serving God, but he wanted them to get right. Here's what I like about the Apostle Paul. He was bothered by the condition that the church had gotten in. He was bothered by it. When he heard these reports that things wasn't going that good and they was dealing with all these problems and issues, it bothered the man of God. You know what scares me today? It scares me that some people are just not bothered. It does. I get fearful when I get around these people and I see the condition they're in. I see the direction they're going. And then what really bothers me is most of the people around them, they're not even bothered by it. There's places tonight that I could take you. There's places tonight that I could, we could go to, and some churches that was once upon a time. I mean, it was a powerhouse for the glory of God. I'm talking about the glory dwelled in these places. I mean, some good places, but tonight they are a million miles from what they used to be. A million miles from what they were built on and what they was founded upon. I'm talking about, I used to them, I could take you to some places that used to, there was a man of God, I stood up week in and week out, full of the Holy Ghost of God, preaching from a King James Bible. I mean, he reared back and he walked with God. I mean, there was a place that was in tune with God, but now they are far, far away from that. And you could walk up in there right now tonight and look at these places and think, there ain't no way that's how they started. Here's what bothers me is most people, they see it and they ain't even bothered by it. Matter of fact, a lot of them out there, they're thankful they ain't what they used to be. There's a lot of folk, and this is what really irks me sometimes when I get around these people, and they're happy. They're happy that they don't go to a church like the one they got saved in. Huh? Now, look, I didn't know it was going to go this way, but we'll just follow, you know, and go this way. But I just want to say this, you know, I know there's a knock against old-time religion, and I know there's all them terms, you know, used to old-fashioned mean good things. But now in our world, when you think about being old-fashioned and old-timey, that's just looked down upon nowadays. But I want to say this, I thank God I'm still walking in the old-time way, and I thank God I may not be my years, but I thank God I'm classified as one of them old-fashioned preachers, you know. I'm not offended by that. That don't bother me. That's a compliment, friend. I'm not upset about it. But now there's some places that bothers them. And so Paul, he's writing to help them. He's writing, he rebukes them, and then also he encourages them to get right. He's saying, what you say you believe and the life you live, that don't add up. You say you love the Lord, and you say, but then you're living a certain way, and you can't do that. You can't say this, and then you live this way. Now, so that's what he's dealing with. But here in this last chapter of the first letter here to the church at Corinth, Paul brings out something. As he's closing the letter out, Paul brings out something that's good. Paul brings out something that he finds pleasant in the house of God. He finds something worth talking about, something worth bragging about. And here in the closing of this letter, he begins to highlight a family that was found in this church here at Corinth. A family that had a lifestyle that he wanted to recognize, that he wanted to brag on, and he wanted to promote, if you will. You'll find them in the text before us here tonight. It is those of the house of Stephanas. Paul says, you know them. You know who I'm talking about. How that they were the first fruits. And in other words, here's what he was saying. You know who they are. They were some of the first ones that got saved way back yonder. When I first came, they're some of the first ones that heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and started following the Lord and serving God. They're some of the very first ones. But then he says something else about them. That's what I want to deal with tonight for just a few moments. And notice what else he says. Not only were they the first fruits, but notice this. He says that they were addicted to the ministry. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, I think we're all familiar with the term addiction in here tonight, and I think we all understand what an addiction is. But for those that may be here tonight that don't have a clear understanding, let me give you a good definition. An addiction is a compulsive or chronic need for something. It is a strong inclination to do something, to use something, or to indulge in something repeatedly. In other words, it's something you go after over and over and over and over. And the reason you keep doing that is because you're addicted to it. That's what an addiction addiction is. Now, I think we all face some kind of addiction. I mean, every single one of us in here, there's some kind of addictions that we all deal with, and we ain't going to go so far down that road tonight, but that's all, you know what I'm talking about. Some of us are addicted, to too much hamburgers and french fries. That's me right there. I eat hamburgers and french fries 3 times a day if it was up to me. I mean, I know everybody's told me my whole life, boy, it's going to catch up with you. Boy, it's going to catch up with you. You're going to have high cholesterol and high blood pressure. But the reality is I just love it. And so I keep going back and back and back for more. Why? Because I'm addicted to it. There's just something about it. Normally, when you talk about an addiction, most often it is always in the negative context. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, every time you mention addiction, if I got up and said, I'm going to preach on being an addict, you thought, boy, it's going to be bad right here. He's fixing that. Get on to us. You didn't think I was going to brag about it, did you? Because normally in the world we live in, when you talk about addiction, it's most often in the negative context. You talk about being addicted to alcohol, being addicted to drugs, lying, gossiping, food, Facebook. There's one. You can be addicted to sports. You can be addicted to all kinds of things, eating and eating unhealthy, all kinds of things. The list goes on and on and on, and most often it's in a negative context. However, here the Apostle Paul is bragging about this family in the fact that they were addicted, and it was a good thing because they was addicted to a good thing. You know what that tells me tonight? That tells me this. It's not being addicted that's the issue, but it's what you're addicted to is the issue. It's not being an addicted is a bad thing. It's what you're addicted to is the issue. Paul says this was a good family. Paul says this was a good thing. They were doing a good work. They were having a good addiction. And that is, they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. In other words, this was a bunch that was plumb. I'm going to put it in my language, all right? Y'all ready for it? They just ate up with it. Couldn't get enough of it. I mean, they just over and over, they couldn't get away from it. They couldn't get it out of their system. You didn't have to tell them about it. You didn't have to push them to do it. You didn't have to beg them, because constantly they were found in the ministry of the work of God because they were addicted to it. It was their focus. It was their drive. It was their purpose. They were devoted. They were involved. It's what made them tick. It's what gave them joy. It's what brought them happiness. It's what their motivation was all built about. In other words, it meant more to them than anything in this world. And that was the work of God and the ministry of the saints. They were addicted to it. Now, I don't know about you, but there's very few tonight that I could honestly get up here and say they're addicted to the ministry. I don't know a lot of people that's addicted to the ministry tonight. Now, I don't know a lot of people that's addicted to the ministry of the saints. I can find those who are addicted tonight, just not to the ministry. Now, I can find them all day long, that crowd that's addicted to alcohol. Now, I can find them all day long, that crowd that's addicted to drugs and money and fame and popularity, and addicted to their jobs, addicted to their careers, addicted to their families, addicted to their friends, addicted to all kinds of vacations. Lord, it's almost summertime. You're going to find out who's really addicted to vacations here in another month or so. I mean, they're going every week. Where are you going? Are we going on vacation? You just went last week. Where are we going on another? Why? Because you're addicted to it. That's why. There's all kinds of addiction. But when it comes to the work of God and the ministry, it's hard to find that crowd who's addicted to it. I can find those that are involved with it to some degree. I can find those that take part in it every now and then. Now, I can find those that participate every once in a while. But as far as being addicted to it, that crowd's hard to come by. Hard to come by. Just this past Sunday, we watched as people flocked to the house of God. And what a beautiful sight it was. I mean, I love seeing God's house filled, and I thank God. I thank God for it. And don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I'm not complaining. I'm thankful to God that they were here. I'll take them however and whenever we can get them. Somebody say amen right there. If they'll show up on a Thursday, I'll move this. So we'll have a service on Thursday night if that's what it takes. If they'll come listen to preaching, we'll get up and preach to them. I'm thankful they were here. But hear me now, many of them won't come back. You know why? They're not addicted. They're not addicted to it. That's why you got all these places now. They'll run a big number on Sunday morning, but you go in there on Sunday night and it looks like a ghost town. Why is that? They're not addicted. They're only the addicted crowd will show back up on a Sunday night. I can find people who say they are, but they don't. I can find people who say they believe the Bible, but it's only the addicted ones that actually read the Bible. Huh? Paul said this was a family who was addicted. They were addicted to it. They were eat up with it. They couldn't get enough of it. It wasn't something they were doing just because. It wasn't something that they were doing just because somebody told them to or asked them to. They were doing it because they were addicted to it. You know what we need in the church in 2022? Watch this now. It's really going. If this goes on the internet, this will be on the internet. They click on this and then listen to this and they're going to think, that preacher's crazy. I'm going to tell you what we need in 2022. We need some addicts in the house of God. That man. I'm talking about some addicts. Those who are addicted to prayer. Those who are addicted to reading their Bible. Those who are addicted to coming to church and going soul winning and witnessing it. Those who are addicted to holiness and righteousness. I tell you what we need in this day and hour. We need some young people to rise up that'll get addicted to purity and modesty. Somebody help me preach right there. We need some young people that'll rise up and get addicted to loving God and walking with God and serving God and worshiping God and getting addicted to gospel music and good Bible preaching. The problem is not that we are addicted, but for many of us, the problem is we're addicted to the wrong things. We need to be addicted to the ministry and the work of God. Let me ask you tonight, what is it that you're most addicted to right now? And as I ask that question, I dare say there's something popping up in everybody's mind. Something's popping up. I wonder how many could honestly testify, I'm addicted to the ministry. I'm addicted to His presence. I'm addicted to His work. I'm addicted to His book. I'm addicted to His fellowship. I'm addicted to His people. I'm addicted to His house. I'm just addicted to the ministry. A couple of things I'll give you real quickly tonight, and I'll be done about being an addict in the house of God. Number one, I want you to notice the battle of an addict. The battle of an addict. You say, what do you mean the battle of an addict? Well, you know what's hard for an addict? What they are constantly in a battle with nearly every day, every moment of their life. Are you ready? It's not doing what they are addicted to. That's easy for them. That's not hard for them. They don't battle in doing what they're addicted to. You know where they battle? It's not doing what they're addicted to. That's the battle. A drug addict don't have a battle about smoking dope. He has a battle about not smoking dope. An alcoholic doesn't have an issue with drinking beer. His issue comes up when he don't drink his beer. The addict has a battle on not doing what he's addicted to. What are you getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. When somebody's addicted to the ministry, it's not a battle to get them to serve God. It's not a battle to get them to come to church and do the work of the ministry. That's not the issue. That's not a battle. It's easy for them to do that because they are addicted to it. Their battle's when they're not here. I like getting around them people who, you know, about 4 weeks away from that one service, they're going to miss, you know, and they're like, preacher,
we're going to have to be gone a Sunday. We hate it. I mean, it's like, I'm like, man, go enjoy yourself. Everybody needs a vacation. Get out of here. Go somewhere. Get along. And everybody needs to come apart. I mean, man, Jesus had to come apart every now and then. So I get that. But I like getting around that crowd, and it bothers them when they're not here. That crowd's addicted to it. I liked it. And Brother Hill, they went to Florida. And I mean, he was so excited. I like it when they come back because I knew he was going to be excited to be back. Amen. I like that. I know, guys, that when deer season rolls around or when turkey season rolls around, you know where they're going to be? They're going to be in the woods. And if something happens and they can't go in the woods, they're miserable. Why? Because they're addicted to it. You know why some people can miss church and not be bothered by it? They're not addicted to it. You know why some people can go all week and never read their Bible other than when the preacher says, get up and open your Bible? You know why that is? Because they're not addicted to it. You know why somebody can only pray when they come to the house of God and somebody else leads them in that prayer, but they never pray throughout the week? Here's why, because they're not addicted to it. This family was addicted to it. Secondly, notice not only the battle of an addict, but notice the pursuit of an addict. The pursuit of an addict. So what do you mean the pursuit of an addict? Well, someone who is addicted to something, they will go through whatever extreme necessary to get a hold of whatever it is that they are addicted to. I went to, we took a trip to Brushy Mountain Prison not too awful long ago, and I think every kid before they graduate middle school needs to go take a tour of Brushy Mountain Prison. Amen. Let them inmates lead you around. Let them know if you don't straighten up, this is what's going to happen to you. We go in there and they begin to tell stories, and all them inmates begin to, tell stories about how life was behind bars. And some of the things that those inmates could come up with, and you think that you think ain't no drugs in this place? There's drugs here. They find a way even behind these bars to get whatever it is they're addicted to. They find a way. And it was coming up with all kinds. I mean, they was telling some of these ways, and I was thinking, man, how'd they come up with that? Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking within myself. I thought, man, there ain't no telling what these folks could do in life and what they could accomplish if they would ever put that kind of dedication and that kind of effort into something good instead of something bad. But they're addicted to the wrong things. They said, boy, I went to school with this guy I know, and I remember in school, he was a good boy, and things was going good, and I mean, just had life right before him, and I mean, just had a good way about him, everything about him. He gets out of school not long ago and ends up getting hooked on dope. And the next thing you know, he's stealing from his mama and his daddy. As a matter of fact, he beat his mama up here not too long ago. They had to go put him in prison. And you say, what would drive somebody to do that? I'll tell you what it is. It's the pursuit of an addict. They'll go to whatever extreme it takes to get whatever it is they're addicted to. Because in their minds, it's worth it. Here's my question tonight. What do you think would happen around here if some folks got that addicted to the ministry and the work of God? I mean, think about it. What if we got so addicted to worshiping the Lord in the right way, in spirit and in truth, in a way that's pleasing unto God? What if we got so addicted to it and said, we ain't going to do nothing else till we get it? I mean, there ain't no telling what kind of meeting would take place if we got addicted to the right things and pursued after it. Whatever extreme it took, whatever it costed us, we'll pay it. Because what we're addicted to, once we get it, it's worth it. The pursuit, I see the feeling of the addict. You know why an addict does what they do? Why they go through all that they go through to get what they are after? Here's why. Because the feeling that they experience when they get it, in their mind,
is worth all that they've got to go through to get it. That's why you'll see some daddies sacrifice their entire family, their entire marriage, because in their mind, if I could just get it, it'll all be worth it. Even though it's wrong, in their mind, that's what's in their, that's the way it is for an addict. That feeling. Let me ask you tonight, what is it that fills you? What is it that satisfies you? Just seeing somebody saved, is that what just does it for you? I mean leading somebody to the Lord. Is that what fills you up? Is that what you're addicted to? What about glorifying God? Huh? Does that not satisfy you? The feeling of an addict. I'm done here. I'm going to close it out. I thought about this as well.